Chapter 24. I Want My Day in Court. Jacob Zuma has always insisted he wants his day in court. Now, it's not like the former president is a stranger to the justice system. He's probably been to court more often than Helen Ziller has had Botox. But Zuma's days in court over the past 21 years have been about avoiding his day in court. For readers who may not have been born when Zuma was first arraigned and who are now adults, a quick recap of what should really be a script for a Muppet movie, but is in fact high-definition, you-can't-make-this-bullshit-up reality. In 2003, Zuma became a central subject in the criminal investigation of corruption, fraud, and racketeering in connection with the 1999 multi-billion rand arms deal. Ah, remember those pre-Gupta days when corruption only cost us 30-odd billion rand. From the start, Zuma insisted on having his day in court so he could clear his name. But by hook or by crook, he's managed to avoid the corruption trial. He knows he's not going to beat the charges, so his strategy is to delay the trial for so long that before his day of judicial reckoning arrives, he'll have long shuffled off to Buffalo. And by Buffalo, I don't mean Pala Pala. Buffalo, meaning a euphemism for dying. It's impossible to condense 21 years of litigation into a few hundred words. But to understand Zuma's legal strategy, let's go to the Durban High Court in 2007. That's when Kemp J. Kemp, Zuma's advocate, revealed the then-future president's stay-out-of-jail plan. We have adopted a Stalingrad strategy in response to this prosecution. This is not a battle where you send a champion out and have a little fight and that's it. This is more like we will fight the state in every street, in every house, and in every room. It shows the sort of krachtdadigheid determination that you expect to see from the SABC when you try to cancel your TV license. Imagine having Kemp on your side if you want to contest a speeding ticket. It would be at this point in a movie about the trial that Zuma rises from the dock, raises a spear, not the one Brett Murray painted, triumphantly into the air and delivers a fiery battle speech. I shall fight them on their breeches. I shall fight them with gratuitous interlocutory points. I shall fight them with spurious defenses. I shall launch baseless counterclaims and appeal against every adverse ruling. I shall never surrender. Double Kemp will tug on his client's sleeve. No, JZ, not the Churchill speech, the Braveheart one. Sons of Mzansi, I am Jacob Chlelei Chlekisa Zuma. Tell our enemies they may take my wives, but they will never take my fire pool. He he he. And while Zuma is laughing, we will remember that his middle name means he who laughs while grinding his enemies. Speaking of grinding, the Stalingrad defense is a form of lawfare named after the Soviet Union's grind-them-down style of combat in a 5-month battle of attrition with Germany during World War II. Zuma's challenges have had little merit, if any merit at all. His aim has been to frustrate the state by keeping applications bouncing from court to court like a pinball for as long as possible. And so far, he has played the country's justice system like Yo-Yo Ma plays the cello. He has brought applications for a permanent stay of prosecution, arguing unsuccessfully that there was interference, prosecutorial misconduct, a political conspiracy against him, his rights were violated, and he wouldn't get a fair trial. When one challenge fails, he launches a fresh one. His defense repeatedly requests postponements in a bid to keep kicking the trial down the road. The Zuma trial has been kicked down the road so frequently that the road, which would be the justice system if anyone is not following this badly stitched together metaphor, has more potholes than the R26 from Bethlehem to Ficksburg. He had some court respite when he was sworn in as president, but began dock dodging again when he went from number one to accused number one, and the charges were reinstated in 2018. In what must rank as next-level chutzpah, in May 2021, Zuma's defense again applied for a permanent stay of prosecution, this time arguing that Zuma had been unfairly prejudiced by all the delays he had asked for. Never mind Stalingrad, Zuma has mastered the Bunter defense. Billy Bunter is the greedy British schoolboy in Frank Richards' novels. He was accused of eating his schoolmate Harry Wharton's cake and mounted the watertight defense. I didn't eat your cake, Wharton, and anyway, it didn't taste very good. The law reports are filled with judgments dealing with Zuma's criminal prosecution. For years, the courts bent over backwards to accommodate him, but eventually accepted that his strategy was abusive and unfounded, and had cost the state, and hence unfortunate taxpayers, between 16.8 million rand and 32 million rand. He has been unsuccessful in every one of his numerous challenges. He has dug in his heels and stared down Advocate Billy Downer, his equally tenacious prosecutor. For 21 years, Downer hasn't blinked. Zuma raised a special plea to remove Downer from the prosecution, arguing that he wasn't a fit person to prosecute him. When that challenge failed, Zuma instituted a private prosecution against Downer and journalist Karen Morn, a whole ex-president taking on a journalist in a malicious attempt to silence and bully her. Zuma claimed Downer and Morn had breached the National Prosecuting Authority Act and defeated the ends of justice because Downer had leaked a confidential doctor's letter to Morn, a document that was in the public domain. It was all bullshit, of course. But when Downer applied to have the private prosecution set aside as an abusive process, Zuma argued that this was even more evidence that the prosecutor had it in for him. I wonder how the judges managed not to respond with a terse, "Duh, of course he's got it in for you. He is the prosecutor." Three courts and eight judges ruled that the private prosecution was baseless and was instituted by Zuma to delay and obstruct his criminal prosecution. "Not so," said Zuma in papers filed with the Constitutional Court, doubling down on his insistence that he's not trying to avoid his day in court. If Zuma's strategy succeeds, at the cost of making him a national laughingstock, then any accused with deep pockets can buy their way out of accountability and justice. And if it has taken the courts this long to deal with charges stemming from alleged arms deal corruption in 1999, how long would it take for Zuma to face the music for all the cuck he got up to with the Guptas? While Zuma's ridiculous legal stunts may be laughable, he's made a mockery of the courts, undermined the rule of law, and turned our justice system into one massive joke. Zuma by numbers. 246 million rand, the cost of the non-security features at his Nkandla homestead. 7.8 million rand, the amount he paid back, courtesy of a VBS Mutual Bank home loan. 7 years between the start of renovations and the 7.8 million rand repayment. 769,870. The number Zuma struggled to wrap his tongue around when reading ANC membership figures at a party conference in 2015. 769,870. 10 years he spent on Robben Island after being convicted of conspiring to overthrow the apartheid government. 3,204 days he was president, from being sworn in on 9th May 2009 to resigning on 14th February 2018. 15 months the Constitutional Court sentenced him to sit in prison after finding him guilty of contempt for refusing to appear before the State Capture Commission. 354 people who died after he was jailed when riots broke out in KwaZulu-Natal and spread to Gauteng. 2 months he spent behind bars before being released on medical parole. 18 charges he faces in connection with the 1999 arms deal. 9 votes of no confidence he faced and survived in Parliament. 5 wives. 23 children that he knows of. 0 successful court applications he has made in relation to the charges of corruption against him. 21. Years since he became a central suspect in the arms deal saga, his bid to avoid his day in court has become an adult.